Let's now give our attention to the Word of God by opening our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14. Page 334, if you're using the Scofield Reference Bible, we'll be reading verses 40 through 45. 1 Samuel, chapter 14, verses 40 through 45. Page 334 in the Scofield Bible. And let's please all stand, everyone standing for the reading of God's Word. Read these verses responsibly, please. And note that the text verse will be verse 43. Then said he unto all Israel, Be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, Do what seemeth good unto thee. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, Give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, Tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so, and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. And let's pray. Lord, teach us tonight. Thank you that we have this opportunity to learn and to be helped and to be strengthened in spirit. And we pray for thy blessing upon the preaching. Help us to listen well, to apply that which we hear. Father, this is an important time, so much more important than anything else we could be doing. So help us to give it our attention. Help us to be alert. Help us to regard it as we should, and bless with power the preaching and the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a story that deals with a mistake that Jonathan made of eating the honey before he was supposed to eat it. Here's the story. The Israelites were in a battle with the Philistines. Now all the little children listen now, all the teenagers, and everybody, because this message is one of those messages that reaches out and places a canopy on everybody and applies in some way to everybody in this room. God had said to Jonathan and his father Saul, Now, I don't want you to eat anything until the battle's over. Don't eat anything till the battle's over. And in the battle, Jonathan saw some honey on the ground. And Jonathan took his rod and reached down and just put his rod in the honey. And like this. And took some like that. And ate it. Don't eat the honey yet. And so then he took his handkerchief out and wiped his finger. And Jonathan said, I'm sorry, Saul, his father, said, Jonathan, what have you done? And Jonathan said, I just reached out with the rod that God gave me, and I put the rod in some honey and just ate a bit of it. And Saul said, Oh my, you've got to die. You disobeyed God. Now because of the love and intercessorship of the people and the mercy of God, Jonathan didn't die, but Jonathan did wrong. Because God said to Jonathan, Don't eat the honey till the battle is over. Now he said, There's a time to eat the honey, but time's not now. I want you to have it good for you, but not yet. Father, bless the message to our hearts. And give me the attention now of all the people, because we need to hear this message. Amen. Now, honey is one of the foods that God has mentioned in the Bible. God wants us to eat it. Listen carefully. Every teenager, I want you to put your eyes right on me, because the message tonight has more to do with you and advice about your happiness than it would anybody else, but it affects everybody. Now, God wanted Jonathan and the Israelites to have the honey. In fact, the Bible commands us to eat honey. I don't mean to be unkind, but if you don't eat honey, you're disobeying God's command. The Bible commands us to eat honey. Now, honey, listen please. Now, honey is a food that is pre-digested. You don't have to digest honey. It is already digested and is of tremendous benefit to the human body. Honey was endorsed by Moses, Solomon, David, Ezekiel, John, Samuel, and Jeremiah in the Bible. The wise man, in admonishing his son on how to live in the Proverbs, admonishes him to eat honey. The land of Canaan was so marvelously laid out that when the 12 spies came back from the land of Canaan to tell the people what it was like, they described it as a land that flows with milk and honey. You see, God wanted the people to have the honey. God prepared the honey for the people. And God was desirous of them using his preparation of honey. But not yet. There was a time when they were supposed to have it. And that time was after the battle was over. And when Jonathan put his rod in the honey and ate it during the battle, it brought the wrath and disfavor of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many wonderful things in life that God has prepared. Turn it down just a trifle, please, would you? There are many wonderful things in life that God has prepared for his people. But God asks us to wait until we're ready before we eat these sweet delicacies of life. Now, I'm going to be very frank with you, and I want you to hear me very carefully. For example, God has some honey for you. God has honey of intimacy for you. God wills it that a young man, now listen carefully, God wills it and planned it and wants it and prepared it for you, that a young man and a young lady enjoy the honey of hand-holding. God wants it. Planned it that way. God planned it so that a young man, a young woman, may enjoy the honey of a warm embrace. I'm talking about hugging. God wants you to have it. I want no snickering while I'm preaching about this, because this is very, very serious. God planned it that way. God made it so that a young woman and a young man could embrace and enjoy it with an excitement and a thrill, and God wants you to have it. God made it so that there's something about the lips of a young man touching the lips of a young woman and feeling excited and enjoying it, and God made it that way. It is a honey that God has made, and I think when God made man and woman, he made them so that he said, I want them to be the way so they can enjoy the touch of the hand, and he can enjoy
the embracing of the body and can enjoy the touching of the lips. God made it that way. It's a marvelous, wonderful honey that God has made for the enjoyment of his people. God wants it that way. Without going any farther, I'll simply say this. God has gone beyond that and made intimate love for young men, young women, to someday enjoy. But he wants you to have it. Did you hear me? I said he wants you to have it. But he also knows when you're supposed to have it. God's not against holding hands. God just says, don't touch the honey until the battle's over. God's not against embracing. He just tells us when you're supposed to embrace. God's not against kissing. God just says, wait till the battle's over. Because God knows what you can enjoy. Now listen, God knows what you can enjoy, and God knows when you can enjoy it most. And so God, in his wonderful provision for us, has given us these wonderful ways of feeling good and of enjoying our appetites filled, and God has made it so, but God says, here it is for you. Here's the honey. But God says, I won't tell you when you can eat it. And the honey of physical intimacies is not good for you until you go to the altar. Young people, you reach out and take that honey, and I won't know laughing. I won't know joking. I want you to hear what I've got to say, because I can give you tonight a great secret to real happiness and excitement in life. Here it is. It's for you. God wants it for you. I want it for you. Dr. Evans wants it for you. The faculty at the schools want it for you. We want you to have it, and God has made it. This marvelous, marvelous thing that God has given that we may enjoy. But God does not want you to reach out before you're ready and dip into the honey he's prepared for you. God wants you to wait until it can be enjoyed at its best. God, listen. Here's the battle. Now, I'm not very smart, but I know that you can't enjoy eating while you're fighting. Here's a fight going on. Here's a guy down in his rifle. And he's boxing bullets. Somebody says, hey, how about a steak, medium well, with mushroom sauce? Well, that ain't no time to eat, buddy. The best thing to do is get the battle over. And when the fighting's over, then sit down at a victory celebration and eat the honey. Why, when Sir Jonathan saw the honey, reached out and dipped in it like that. There's a battle going on. And God said, Jonathan, I want you to have it, but you won't enjoy it as much now. He said, save it till the battle's over. Now I say this, and I know what I'm talking about. After counseling with tens of thousands of people through these years, if you reach out and grab embracing before it's time, reach out and grab kissing before it's time, and reach out and grab sex before it's time, you won't enjoy it. And God's not trying to keep you from having something. God's trying to wait till it tastes good. God's trying to wait till it's more fun. And you'll miss the celebration later. And you cannot enjoy it fully ever. They didn't wait. They came to my office, a young couple. They didn't wait. I talked to them less than 2 weeks ago. They didn't wait. They reached out and took the honey. Oh, but you say, Brother Hyles, the liberal says that you can go ahead and take it now. Liberal's crazy as a lunatic. Got bats in his belfry. You have no right to take the honey. So God says when to take it. God knows when you can enjoy it better. God knows when it's more fun. And God doesn't say, I don't want you to have it. I don't want you to have fun. I don't want you to enjoy it. I don't want you to have it. No, God is saying, I want you to enjoy it. I want to tell you when you can enjoy it. I want to tell you when is the best time. And so God in his mercy is saying, wait till the battle's over. And then take it on God's appointed time. They didn't wait. She and he came to my office recently. Now, I'm going to talk very frankly. This is not a sex education class. But it's something you ought to hear, and somebody ought to teach it to you, and most of you parents are not going to do it. It's too busy watching that dumb box. Every time you lift an eyebrow at me while I'm preaching, it adds 10 minutes to the sermon. It makes it twice as hot. And they said, Pastor, we reached out before marriage and took what God had for us before it was God's time. And now they said, we never enjoy lovemaking. Why? Because they took the honey before the battle was over. And it robbed them of the joy of pleasure. They didn't wait. About a year ago, they came to my office. And they said, we feel guilty every time we do as much as kiss. We feel guilty because we realize in our memories and our consciences hold us that back yonder when we were too young, we took that which God had for us and reached out and took it too soon. And we feel guilty. How can we get over this guilt feeling? What do they do? They made the dumb mistake that the dirty playboy philosophy says make, and the dirty public school system says make, and the dirty state university professors say make. They say do it now. If it feels good, do it. No, sir. Ask God when it feels best. They didn't wait. She carries a baby. Every week she comes to my office. Bigger and bigger. Just a 16, 17-year-old girl. They didn't wait. What? Say, God said, here it is for you. I want you to have it. And they reached out and said, we want it now. And God said, wait till the battle's over. And they said, we want it now. And God said, wait till the battle's over. Young lady, when that dirty, lustful, sensuous idiot reaches out and tries to steal from you that which is precious and pure, and you say, I'm afraid I'll lose him if I don't yield to him, you're better off without that idiot. And you big baboons, animals, heathen, pagan, animals. Oh, nothing makes me more mad. Or some sweet little virgin chaste girl to have some suave big time operator say, let me teach you something. I'd like to gather something. Keep your dirty hands off of her. I can hear my mother now saying to my sister, Earlene, if a boy tries something bad to you, she said, take off your shoe. Back in those days, there were real high heel shoes. And mother taught Earlene how to hit him in the head with it. You can kill somebody with a high heel shoe. Use it. But you say, I'm afraid I'll be an old maid. In the first place, it's not for you. God won't let you do it. You'll do right. God will see to it you get a man sometime so that heathen sissy tries to steal your virtue from you. Don't eat the honey yet. You say, preach, I don't like your kind of preaching. Then love it the best way you can. I'm trying to make decent kids out of these young people. I mean, I'm trying to say, God wants you to have it. God has the honey and the delicacy for you. But God says, they tell you when you can enjoy it the most. They didn't wait. Now that she's kicked out of high school, waiting for the baby to come. They didn't wait. They didn't marry, of course. And by the way, nobody will marry unless they're in love. If they love each other, it's God's choice. Unless you pull to the altar, two wrongs don't make a right. I want to say this. Tonight, that young man who has one blot on his record, honestly, he's a fine young man. I like the guy. I believe God could use him. But one time, some little Delilah reached out and said, let's take it now. And God said, wait till the battle's over. And she said, let's take it now. And God said, don't eat the honey yet. And she said, let's take it now. That little Jezebel hussy lured him into sin and took the honey before the battle was over. Now he knows not where his baby is. By day and by night, he wonders where the baby is. They didn't wait. And she asked me to find a mother and father for the baby she carries. They didn't wait. And now the little girl is 6 or 7 years of age. And the mother comes to my office and says, Brother Hiles, my little baby, my girl doesn't have a daddy. How do I tell her? They didn't wait. And now they're trying to figure out some way to change the date of their wedding date, their anniversary celebration, because the child's getting up old enough now to add and subtract and knows the anniversary date. It's too early for the child's birth. They didn't wait. Now she has a baby and no chance to marry. They didn't wait. Now she has to work to make ends meet. Lives alone trying to rear the children. You sit in my office 1 week. Listen, any one of you young people, sit in my office 1 week. But you still have. We live in the Chicago ghetto. I don't care where you live. Right still right and wrong still wrong. You sit in my office 1 week. And hear what I hear. Not a single one of you young people will reach out and take the honey before the battle's over. Oh, if Jonathan had just waited. What a wonderful time they could have had enjoying a big feast. And the honey as a celebration of victory. What a wonderful time you can have, young people, if you'll wait till the battle's over. And wait till the altar for the kissing. And wait till the altar for the embracing. And wait till the altar for the hand-holding. Wait till the altar for the hugging. And wait till the altar for the necking and petting. You'll be amazed how much sweeter the honey will taste. There's a second thing that God has for you, and that's the honey of marriage. God planned it for you. And God wants you to have it. God wants you to have a home. God wants you to have children. God wants you to have, get married. God planned it for you. But he wants you to wait until you can enjoy it most. Now, moms and dads, listen to me. Everybody in this house, I want you to listen to me right now. Everybody in the house. A 17 or 18-year-old young person just out of high school is not ready to get married. Just not. God wants you to have it. But getting married as a high school graduation gift is reaching out and taking something marvelous and wonderful that God wants you to have and taking it too soon. Now look, let me reason with you. Let's suppose that 17, 18, you get married. Young man, it's something you don't know. The honey doesn't taste very good and you can't pay your bills. Let's suppose you make $1,000 a month. And that's a lot of money for a person that just out of high school to make. Now listen, suppose that you have to pay $200 of that for taxes, and you will if you just have you and your wife. That means $800. And suppose you don't drive a brand new car, but a pretty decent car, That means you pay $150 a month. That leaves you $650. And at your age, with two teenage drivers, it's going to cost you $1,000 or $100 a month for insurance for the car. That leaves you $550. It's going to cost you at least $100 a month for gasoline. That leaves you $450. It's going to cost you $100 a month, unless you're a God robber, for tithe. That leaves you $350. It's going to cost you $250 a month for rent, and that, unless you're very, very fortunate, is as cheap as you can get it, and probably more. That leaves you $100. It's going to cost you $100 or so for phone bill and utilities. That leaves you nothing. And out of that nothing, you got to buy groceries. Out of that nothing, you got to buy clothes. And out of that nothing, you got to pay doctor bills. And out of that nothing, you got to have your pleasure. And out of that nothing, you may have to pay a doctor bill for a new baby and a hospital bill for a new baby. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, in 1980 is not the time when people just out of high school or rusty altar, you're taking something God wants you to have, reaching out to you before God wants you to have it, you're taking the honey before it's time to eat it before the battle's over. I said to our young folks at Howells Anderson, wait till at least you're a college senior. At least. Wait till you graduate. If you don't do that, wait till at least between your junior and senior year of college to get married. Now, if you're not in college, I'd say don't get married till at least 3 years after high school. Now, you'll love me one of these days. You'll listen to me. You'll love me. God wants you to get married. And God wants you to have the intimacies and the joys of marriage. And God wants you to have a baby. And God wants you to have a home. God doesn't want you to eat the honey yet. Wait before you eat the honey. Young people, listen to me. If you go to the wrong school, wrong college, you can always make amends and transfer to Howells Anderson. If you go to work at the wrong place, you can always quit and get another job. If you buy the wrong house, you can sell it and buy another one. But if you marry the wrong woman, the wrong man, you're stuck. That is, if you obey God, you're stuck. Now, if you want to make a quick judgment, buy a house quickly. If you want to make a quick judgment, get a car. You can always sell it or go to a school. But nobody ought to make a quick judgment about his last name. Nobody. And if you'll listen to me tonight and wait till at least you're 3 years out of high school before you marry, or until you're between your junior and senior year of college as the earliest time, you will love me forever, and when the honey comes, it'll be more enjoyable, it'll be more refreshing, it'll be more delightful, it'll be more thrilling, it'll be more exciting. Why? Because you didn't eat the honey too soon. That's why. Boy, that's good advice. Man alive, if I had a child, I'd want my child to hear that preaching. I'd want my child to sit up straight and listen to what the preacher has to say. And I'd want him to hear the fact the preacher says you ought to someday hold hands and you ought to kiss and you ought to embrace and you ought to be intimate and you ought to have marriage and you ought to have children. But God has a time for it. I'll just say, he just doesn't want me to have any fun. No, he wants you to wait until it is fun before you do it. You don't believe what I'm saying? Most of my counseling, most of my counseling is done with people who ate the honey too soon. We had 53 appointments last Thursday night. Not appointments, but counseling sessions. I dare say 35 of them had to do with somebody who ate the honey too soon. There's a third honey that God has for you. You know, when I was down south, I always heard that Yankees didn't have much sense of humor. They didn't know how to tell funny stories, and that's not true. biggest idiot I know is a Yankee. And he's on the Deacon board, plays the guitar. Big fella. And anyway, the truth is, what are you coming over here for? But I came up north and went to a little store out here on 173rd in Columbia. I felt like I was in a foreign country. Nobody could understand my perfect English. And I went to that little store, and I was trying to find some honey. And I said to this fellow, he had a foreign accent, I said, "Where's your honey?" He said, "She's home." And it was confirmed what I had heard about Yankees. There's a third honey. You know, God has a wonderful work plan for you. God has a profession plan for you. God has a life's work written down in His perfect will for you. But God wants you not to enjoy the honey of that work until the battle of preparation is over. A fellow came to office last week and said, I've just started at Howells Anderson. In fact, I don't think he started yet. I think we'll start midterm or at the spring semester. But he said, I feel led of God to go back to my home church and be the youth director. No, he doesn't feel led of God doing such thing. He just wants the honey too soon, that's all. But you wait for the honey. I wouldn't give you a dime for any young preacher that won't preach now. I wouldn't give you a dime for any young preacher that wouldn't like to leave right now and get out and get there. Because it's honey. It's sweet. And God has it for you. Young man, you wait till the battle's over. You wait till the battle of theology is over, and the battle of Bible study is over, and the battle of learning the English grammar is over, and the battle of learning church education is over, and the battle of sitting in these pews for these 4 years is over, and you wait until it's time to have the honey of your life's work. And you'll be amazed how much more you can do than you can do rushing out here half-cocked. I can tell you the names I want, but I could. There are at least 20 young men who went to Howells Anderson College and decided to reach out and get the honey too soon. We're not in the ministry now. Now you got to wait till the battle's over. Jonathan, the honey is for you. Jonathan, God wants you to have it. Jonathan, it's a wonderful food. Jonathan, it is a self-digested, predigested food. Jonathan, it is God's pure food. It's a strengthening food. But Jonathan, not yet. Hold it. Hold, not yet. Hold it, Jonathan. Not yet. You won't enjoy as much till the battle's over. Check on those who wait. When I was a young man, start preaching, there are 5 young men who were chosen for the Texas Baptist Convention in their late teens to preach, in early 20s, to preach what they called youth revivals. And they preached the giant crowd. I mean, the entire city of Dallas organized itself one time. And out at Cole Park, 10,000 folks a night came from all the churches in town. And over 100 churches cooperated. And these 5 young men, each one preached the night. One Monday, one Tuesday, one Wednesday, one Thursday, one Friday. And I went out there and sat and heard those young men preach, and boy, they were dynamic, and they were good public speakers. And not much material as I look back on it, but then they had that crowd just like that. But they took the honey too soon. 3 of the 5 are out of the ministry now, and the other 2 are merely liberals. Why? Because they took the honey too soon. They should have gone to school and got their foundation. They should have pastored some little church out in the country to make their mistakes and learn. And then a little bigger, and a little bigger, and a little bigger. But you're not going to win the world now. You're not going to win the world now. If this country is saved, it's not going to be saved by a bunch of unprepared, premature honey eaters. It's going to be saved by a generation of hundreds and thousands of God's men who go to cities and villages, neighborhoods and hamlets across this country and build churches, fundamental churches. No one man's going to save this nation. Not you, not Jack Hiles, nobody. Don't eat the honey yet. There's the next. Another honey I want to talk about. And that's the honey of material things. Please listen. God probably wants you to have someday a nice house. And God probably would not be disappointed if you had the honey of a new car someday. And God perhaps would not mind if you enjoyed the honey of some nice modern furniture someday. And God would not mind you having a nice wardrobe someday. But God, He knows when that will taste better for you. Now, if it's possible, and you can afford it, and you can make the payments, and you know you can, without putting yourself in a financial bind, where you eat each other's throats all the time, nothing wrong now. Here's what's ruined America, one thing. That's an American Express credit card. I use it because I travel. So when you're 21 years old, you don't need one. I did not own a credit card. Listen to me. I'll tell you when I owned it. My first credit card was owned in 1968. I was 42 years of age. I heard somebody say on the radio the other day, news, said, everybody will have a credit card in case of an emergency. No, the emergency comes after you've used the stupid thing. Nobody ever comes to my office in financial trouble unless they got $200 they got to pay to JCPenney and $195 to Montgomery Ward and $374 to Sears and Roebuck and on it goes. Why? Because we want the honey before it's time to have the honey. That's why. Man, I'm trying to help you tonight. Good night. I'm giving you more help tonight than you'll get in the average church in 10 years, and you know it's the truth. And I'm not preaching a good sermon. I'm preaching something you need. God wants you to have nice things, and God doesn't mind it, but you're not supposed to get them all when you're 20, 19, 20, 21 years of age. There's a time when God wants you to have it. Students dropping out of school right now. Come to my office. I can't stay in college. I got myself in a financial bind. 18, 19-year-old young people. I look at their finances, paying payments on a brand new car. When you're 18, 19, you don't need the honey of a new car yet. Reach out and grab something that's for later. Wait till that is over. By the way, let me say this. A pretty good motto for young people is this. If you can't afford it, don't you buy it. John Randolph stood in the Senate on the Senate floor one day and shouted to the United States Senate something they should have heeded, but they didn't. He said, gentlemen, pay as you go. And now the old federal budget's about gone because they haven't heeded John Randolph. And there's not a church, there's not a family, there's not a business, there's not a nation on the face of God's green earth that's going to have happiness and enjoy its luxury if we get the honey until the battle's fought and we're ready to enjoy it to its fullest. You'll be better after the battle. Did you know you go to one of these places and finance these appliances? You know sometimes you'll pay as high as 30% interest? Did you know that? Did you know in a couple of years of that, or 3 years of that, did you know that you could buy twice as much as you bought? God wants you to have the nice things of life. Young lady, God wouldn't mind you having a nice wardrobe, but not till the battle's over and you can afford it. There's nothing wrong with a man wearing decent clothes. I'm wearing a suit right now for the first time. I when folks give me a gift certificate or money to buy suits with, I never buy myself one. I wait till the end of the year. This suit cost $275. I bought it at the end of last year in February for $49.95. Some fool would have paid $275 for it. But I wait till the end of the year and buy it, put it in the closet, wear it next year. You say, well, how? What if it's out of style? I set the styles. Look, buddy, if a long-haired freak, which are synonymous words, a long-haired freak can put his pants down just on the top of his hips and get a big old shirt, floppy shirt, dirty, and pants that have not been washed since the baboons wore them on the ark, I can wear a wide lapel when everybody else is wearing a short one, narrow one.
Right.
What's wrong with that? God has a wonderful life plan for you, little boys and girls. God has, girls for example, God wants you to wear holes someday, but don't eat the honey when you're 8. Listen to you, girls. Look, if your child's asleep, punch him in the rib, wake him up. God doesn't mind you wearing holes. God doesn't want you climbing trees in them. Well, you're over the tree climbing stage. It was while I see some 12-year-old girl around the holes in high heels, wobbling all over the place. Don't eat the honey yet. Enjoy your childhood. I'll get it, John. He was going to pick it up. He's just waiting until the battle's over. Don't eat it yet. Let me old girl come to the office and say, Brother House, how often do you think I ought to date a week? Don't eat the honey yet. Wait. A lot of you folks, listen, a lot of you 12, 13-year-old young ladies, eat all the honey that God prepared for your adolescence before you ever get to high school. It's all gone. It's all over. Are you high school young people? Eat all the honey God has for you in college. It's all eaten up. Where you get in college. Reach out and take the honey of marriage and eat it too soon, it's gone. The honey of intimacy. Boys and girls, it's wonderful to be a teenager. It is. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's more than you dream it will be. But hey, wait a minute, kids. It's also great to be a child. There's certain honey that God has for children. I saw a cartoon the other day. One of our fine men sent it to me. Here was a fence. The pasture on this side, the pasture on this side, and two cows grazing. The cow on this side had his fence over the neck over the fence, eating on the other side of the fence. And the cow on this side was eating the grass over there where the other cow was. Neither cow was eating on his side of the fence. But look, while you're a child, there are certain marvelous things of our childhood. Don't eat teenage honey while you're a child. And high schoolers, don't eat adult honey while you're a high schooler. Don't eat it yet. Young married couples, don't eat middle-aged honey while you're a young married couple. There's an awful lot of honey out there for you to enjoy. But don't use it all up. That's one reason why I could have sent David to the Holy Land. One of these days, maybe you'll go. Save your honey, that senior citizen honey, until you become a senior citizen. Then I say this also. Some of you who are middle-aged, you're reaching out and getting a marvelous honey too soon. And that is rest from the battle. I'm too old to teach Sunday school class. I'm 55. Well, you forgive me, but I'm 53 and I ain't near started preaching yet. You don't believe that, you hang around a while tonight. But I haven't started yet. I enjoy preaching more today than I have enjoyed in my life. I don't feel like I'm old. I mean, I've got a lot of honey out on there. In the ministry, I'm still old. Because if you got a retirement plan, you know I got a retirement plan. I get tired every day. So you going to retire? Yeah, I get tired tomorrow too. Get tired again. But I'm not, look, I know preachers at 55 and 60 thinking about some younger man could do a better job. Well, buddy, some old man do a better job than you're doing. I'll bind you one thing. First young man I find could do a better job pastoring this church than I am. I'm going to learn how to do better. I'm just not ready to pastor yet. Some of you folks, 65 years old. Well, this better. I'll teach Sunday school class. I'm too old for that. No, you're not. That honey comes in heaven. I like that scripture. And the Old Testament says, this is not your rest. This is not your rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. This is not it. Don't reach out and take some of heaven's honey now. Keep on serving God. You walk inside this New Jerusalem. Keep on going. Keep on working. Keep on teaching. Keep on the bus route. Keep on preaching. Stay in the choir. Thank God these older people stay in the choir. I mean, people like Mrs. Bordway and others stay in there to get old. Thank God for these senile men still come. Hop up here from the rest home. Don't eat your honey now. There's a certain honey in every stage of life. Marvelous honey in childhood. But if you eat teenage honey while you're in childhood, not only will you use up all the teenage honey too soon when you can't enjoy it, but you won't be eating the childhood honey and you don't enjoy your childhood or your teen years. Yes, there's a certain honey about adolescence. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. Somebody said to me the other day, he said, my daughter's a sophomore in Hallett Baptist High School. Never has any dates. Poor thing. Never has any dates. Well, honey, will come later. You don't obey because you're 16, not engaged. You used to get engaged. Now you get pre-engaged. And pre-engaged. Then you go steady. Then you promise you're going to go steady. And then before that, you promise you won't go with anybody else. You wear a ring. You wear a sweater. You wear a leather jacket. I mean, I'm not smart enough to be a teenager anymore. Too complicated for me. You're not pre-engaged the time you're 16. You think you ought to get a government check. Deep childhood, honey, while you're a child, keep your hands off the teenage honey. Deep teenage honey while you're a teenager and keep your hands off young adult honey. Eat your young married honey while you're young married. Keep your hands off middle-aged honey. And when you're middle-aged, keep your hand off heaven's honey. Until you get to heaven. Don't eat the honey yet. Where tonight? Where tonight have I crossed your path? And where tonight did your spiritual telephone ring? And did you hear the doorbell ringing on your spiritual house? Where? Hey, where? Hey, young people! Where? Huh? How about you satyrs back there? Are you reaching out and taking honey that's not yours because you're in the Navy, away from home? You mark my word, red fellas. You haven't got an ounce of manhood. You can't resist honey that's not yours. I like you guys. I cut up with you. But you're supposed to be decent. I don't care where you are. I don't care who's doing it. If it's wrong to do it, you're not supposed to do it.